There is a great deal of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. We've certainly seen that the past several Sunday evenings. And when I started thinking about this lesson and the topic being work and diligence, I was amazed at how much Solomon addresses this topic in the book of Proverbs. He tells us a great deal about what work is, what it's supposed to be like, how diligent we should be in our work, both for our physical, secular jobs as well as working for the Lord. Certainly it applies in both ways. You know, if you look at history, I guess you'd say, not too many lazy people have gone down in history. We might remember one or two. We remember a cat that was pretty lazy, named Garfield. We remember maybe a few other lazy characters on TV, but the ones who have accomplished a lot are those who have worked hard. And certainly Solomon in the book of Proverbs emphasizes how important it is for God's people to work and work hard. And so we're going to look at just some. We're certainly not going to look at all of them because there are so many of them. But we're going to look at some of the passages that Solomon discusses work and some of the motivations for working, some of the blessings for working, and why God praises those people who work. So we're going to spend most all of our time in the book of Proverbs. We want to begin by looking at one of the reasons God tells His people to work. We'll start in Proverbs chapter 10 tonight. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse 4. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. It says, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." What happens to the one who doesn't work? It says he becomes poor. God has instilled in us the necessity of working. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible talks about how important it is for us to work, to provide for us, to provide for our families, to provide for those people who can't work. Because some people, due to health and other circumstances, can't. So we are obligated to work. And he says, those people who don't, he says they have a slack hand. See, they can work, they choose not to. Those will become poor. And if we gather in summer, we're considered to be wise. But if we do what? We sleep through the harvest, we cause shame. We talked about this morning how important it was for us to set the right kind of example in the community. Well, if the community, the people around us, look at us as being people who are lazy, slothful, you know, poor workers, we're not going to have much success telling them about the gospel. So he emphasizes here how important it is to work. If we turn a few pages over to Proverbs 13, verse 11. He says pretty much the same thing. There's a number of these verses that teach the same principle, but uses a little different picture or illustration to do so. Notice verse 11 of Proverbs 13. "Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase." Will increase. You know, even back in the garden, God had something for them to do, didn't He? You know, there was this paradise, but He still had them to do what? Tend the garden. And of course, we know after the fall, that work became much more difficult. But even before the fall, He had work for them to do. So work is something that's God ordained. He wants His people to work because He knows people, how He made them, need to work. It's something that's very important for them. And most people who work understand when they've accomplished something, there is a good feeling about it. There's a good feeling about it. Notice Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28, and notice verse 19. It says, "He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough." If we expect to eat, what are we supposed to do? Supposed to work for it. We should not expect people to work for us and provide food for us. He says it's our obligation to work to provide what we're going to eat. We turn back to just a page or two behind, chapter 27, verse 18. We're told, "Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. So he who waits on his master will be honored." Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. See, we are again advised, counseled, told that we have this need to provide for our own. It's a good thing for us to work. God, again, has put that in us to do. God notices, and other people do, when we work. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Last verse of Proverbs 22. Verse 29 says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." A man who excels in his work. Now he's taking it a step further. It's not just working, but it's now excelling in their work. I think God wants us to excel in our work. Excel in it. Be diligent in it. Do our very best at our work, whatever our work is. Do it with all your might, the Bible says. So the one that excels in his work is going to stand before kings. In other words, be noticed. Be noticed, and be noticed in a positive way. There's a lot of motivation to work. Proverbs 16, verse 26. Here's another aspect of laboring, of working. Proverbs 16, verse 26. "The person who labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on." There's one aspect of working. Again, if you want to eat yourself, expect to work for it. Don't expect to get handouts. That's what he says. So we have, again, this obligation to do our very best to provide our own living, to provide for our food, provide for our clothes, or whatever it is we need. We have this obligation. It's very, very important. And certainly, at least from my jaded perspective, work ethic in general has greatly declined. I mean in a major way. And maybe that's jaded, maybe that's not objective, but that's what I see. I see people not being so concerned about working. And I see people with the attitude, somebody owes me something. That just seems to be prevalent in our society. People owe other people, or so they think. Well, the Bible never teaches that in that sense. The Bible says, work for it. Again, there are some exceptions. There are people who can't, and that's not what he's talking about. But most people can, and those people who can work are supposed to. And not expect handouts, but to work, and to work diligently. As he mentioned, excelling at it. Well, we go back to chapter 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. The hand of the diligent. See, that's what God wants us to be. And this is true for young and old and everybody in between. He wants us to be diligent in our work, regardless of, again, what it is we're doing. You know, if we're asked to do something dealing with the church, regardless of what it is, God expects us to do it with diligence, to do it with our very best. And again, it makes no difference how, quote, important we think that work is. We should do it with the very best ability we have. Put all of our effort into it. Not just try and do, you know, something to get by. There's a lot of getting by in our society. But that's not the Christian's viewpoint. It's not, well, let's just do something to get by. Let's do it well. Let's do it with diligence. And let's not be lazy. Let's labor for it and do it well. That's the viewpoint that God puts forth, especially in the book of Proverbs. Planning is important when it comes to our work. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. Proverbs 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who's hasty, surely to poverty. Planning is important. Thinking about what you're going to do is important. Not rushing in without planning. So don't do that. One thing, you'll probably waste a lot of time and effort. So those things are important. And then in Proverbs 27, the writer mentions another aspect of working and being diligent. Proverbs 27, verses 23 and 24. It seems like Solomon in Proverbs covers all these different aspects of making a living and knowing what we have and planning for the future. Notice verse 23 and 24. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. And boy, is that true. Know what you have. And of course, that keeps you from overspending. That keeps you from doing a lot of things. But know the condition of your finances. Know what's going on. Know the condition of what you have. Because, he says, these things aren't forever. They don't last forever, do they? Some of them are very fleeting. So it's important to know the state at all times. That's what he's trying to get across to us. So look at all the areas that Solomon has touched on when it comes to work. Whether we apply it again to our secular work, whether we apply it to working for the Lord, we need all of those aspects are important. You know, being diligent, planning, knowing what you have, not expecting other people to do it, doing it to the best of your ability, all of those things are important. Now we're going to kind of switch the tables a little bit and look at how the Bible here in Proverbs condemns laziness. And boy, does Solomon, through inspiration, condemn laziness in a big way. Proverbs 19, verse 15. Proverbs 19, verse 15 says, "Laziness cast one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger." And then in 26, verse 24, or 26, verse 14. Proverbs 26, verse 14. "As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed." That's what the lazy man does. When it's time to get up, he's just going to turn over. Too difficult to get out of bed. Notice the verse right above it. The lazy man says, "There's a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the street." And if we look at what he's talking about, A lazy man gives excuses for not doing things. There's always an excuse out there for not doing something. It's too cold, it's too hot, it's too wet, it's too dry. It's too windy, or there's not enough breeze. I'm tired, I'm sleepy, I'm, whatever. Just keep filling in the blanks. So, in this case, the lazy man said, there's a lion in the road. I can't go out there. I might get killed by a lion. It's very unlikely that the guy was going to get killed by a lion. But since there was that remote possibility, that's what the lazy man does. Looks for excuses not to work. I should put this up in my room at school. Boy, some of my kids really go out there to find some excuses for not doing something. That's what this guy was. You know, there was a lion out there. Maybe somewhere in the whole area there was a lion. Well, if I go out, the lion's going to get me. So I'd better not do it. Well, in Proverbs 26, oh, I already looked at verse 13. Back in 22 verse 13. This is another, he says it almost the same way, but a little differently. He says, the lazy man says, there's a lion outside, I shall be slain in the streets. Almost word for word. He's too fearful to live. Well, I can't work. I can't do anything. Something can happen. Well, something can always happen, obviously. And if you wait till conditions are perfect, then what will you accomplish? Absolutely nothing, because the conditions are never perfect. So that's what Solomon is trying to get across here. If you want to accomplish anything, if you really want to work and do something good, you can't wait until everything is perfect. There's always things that can happen. You can always find excuses, in other words, for not doing it. You can always find some excuse. Solomon says, don't do it. Excuse or not, you go out and do it. And don't be fearful. Well, another aspect of it, Proverbs 20, verse 14. This is a kind of an unusual way of putting it. It's kind of in different words than we would use in our culture, but if you go, let's go back and read verse 13. That kind of helps, I think. Proverbs 20, verse 13 and 14. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you'll be satisfied with bread. It's good for nothing, cries the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasts. The idea seems to be is that this person can't find the right time to work. See, he says it's good for nothing. Well, I can't do it now. It's not right. And then the time is gone. So a lot of times that's what people will do. Well, they'll simply say, and maybe you've done it, maybe I've done it, say, well, this isn't, you know, I'm waiting for the right time to work. Well, probably there's not the right time to work. There might be better times, but don't look for excuses. In Proverbs 24, something else about laziness that is harmful. Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 30. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Here was a guy, he had a field, had a vineyard, and had all of this. And what did he do? He just let it fall to pieces. Because he was lazy, he didn't take care of what he had. Because he was lazy. That's what it said. I went by the field of the lazy man. He had all of this. Had a nice field, had a nice vineyard, had this and that. But because of laziness, he just let it go. And now it wasn't worth anything. It was overgrown by weeds and everything else. The wall had it was broken down, and It couldn't grow anything in the vineyard. Why? Simply because he didn't want to work. He was lazy. And so it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Some simply refused to work. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25. Proverbs 21, verse 25. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. I could tell stories for the next hour about different people dads tried to hire when he'd go down to the place to, you know, the temporary service place. I don't remember what that's called, but and all the excuses he's heard from people for not working. It would fill a book. I wish he had written them down over the years, because he could have probably sold it. Been a great book. But it all boils down to that one thing that's in this verse. They just refused to work. That's really what it amounted to. They just refused to work. They didn't want to work. Again, maybe it was too hot that day for them, or too cold, or it was too rainy, or too windy, or whatever. But they just refused to work. They would rather sit there in the building and not do anything. Some laziness is very deeply ingrained. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. And then we'll look at 19, verse 24, and we'll almost be done. Proverbs 12, verse 27. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. The lazy man wouldn't even cook what he went out and killed. That's how lazy he was. He killed it, but oh, that's too much to prepare it and cook it. I'm not going to do that. That's too much work. But he says, diligence is our precious possession. Diligence in work is a precious possession. Well, we go, like I said, to 19, verse 24. And this is a really sad picture of a lazy man. Proverbs 19, verse 24. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Now that's lazy. I mean, yeah, I can't imagine anybody being lazier than that. There's this bowl that have food in it, and he won't even bring his hand to his mouth to eat it. That's lazy. And lastly, Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. And I think that's a good way to end. The lazy man has desires and wants and wishes and things that he would like to accomplish or do, but he doesn't do them because he's lazy. Because it takes effort to accomplish anything worthwhile. It takes effort. The works that were mentioned by David this morning that we're looking at in short term and long term, it's going to take diligence. It's going to take work. We can't just desire church growth or desire this or desire that and not be willing to work to get it. And that's really the lesson from Proverbs. If we're wanting that, then we'll have to work to get it. God isn't just going to hand us over disciples. He's not going to hand us over Christians. You know, he told the people almost 2,000 years ago the same thing he tells us. Go into all the world. Don't wait for the world to come to you. You go into all the world. Be diligent at it. The soul of the righteous man, the soul of the diligent man will be rich. God will reward us in many ways for being diligent, especially in carrying out His work. He will. We're also to be diligent as Christians, like we mentioned this morning, in how we live. And it takes diligence in living the right kind of way. But he says, for those who do that, there is a great reward. Begins by becoming a Christian, experiencing the new birth, having our sins washed away, and then being diligent to continue to confess and ask for forgiveness. And tonight, if you need to respond to that great invitation, I encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.